A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Antidepressants?
Antidepressants, yeah. Yeah. You can just... Okay, yeah, do that. I think the Jays play tonight.
Life's a Wreck.
Oh, what's going on, everyone? Welcome back to Life's a Wreck, the podcast where we celebrate a world more mental, destigmatize all things mental health through sharing stories, experiences, authentic conversation, just sitting down and having a good old chat. I'm excited to hop into things today because the name of the game is sex, love, relationships. And before we hop into things, I wanted to thank all of you for showing some extra love to these episodes. These are always some every year. The Sex, Love, and Relationship podcast is always one of the most listened to episodes of Life's a Wreck. I'm just going to keep pretending not to know why. And I want to give a particular, extra thank you because today I'm very fortunate to be joined by my amazing girlfriend, Emma, who is making her overall podcasting debut, making her Life's a Wreck debut. And obviously, not exactly like, I could have been like, hey, Em, hop on this, conversation about like, anxiety and my eating habits. You know what I mean? Like, there was a bunch of different things that obviously we could have got into, but obviously I went to her and I was like, hey, so there's this episode that I do every year, and she was aware of it, the Sex, Love, and Relationship episode, and I would really love with this new season to do it with you. And she was like really excited to do it. We were both a little bit nervous as we got it. We actually ended up recording this episode twice, decided to use the second recording. The first recording, I think our nerves got the better of us. Like, it's a very like open, candid conversation about our love, our relationship, closer to the end of the episode, our sex life, and we get into like the good, the bad, the ugly. And I really appreciate her vulnerability. I appreciate all of you always tuning in and showing these episodes some love. If you are my family, this is not the episode for you. For everyone else who wants to tune in, enjoy. If you are my family, I recommend there's going to be another episode out in a couple weeks that won't be about sex, love, it. And even next week's episode, which is still kind of like more the part two of our sex, love, and relationship conversations. I'd say that one might be more your speed. This one, maybe not. Take it easy on us, as we get into the chat. As I mentioned, this is, we wanted to do this because it's very important to both of us. This is something, having healthy conversations around sex, love, and relationships, healthy dialogue, honest dialogue, vulnerable dialogue. These are things that I think are unbelievably important. As I've talked about on the podcast before, sex was always something and love and relationships were always something that my mental health played such a significant role in. And I felt like I never had a space to talk about it. I always felt really, deeply uncomfortable talking about it. But the more I talked about it, the more comfortable I got, the more psychologically safe love, relationships, and sex became. And I'm very fortunate to have a partner who shares in those values and knows how important it is to share these conversations. And so without further ado, a very chill, very laid back episode straight from the couch of our new, our new apartment, but Emma recently moved in. It's something that we'll talk about in the episode from our apartment about the oh so wonderful world of sex, love, and relationships and their connection to a world more mental. All right, welcome back to Life's a Wreck, everyone. Podcast where we celebrate a world more mental, destigmatize all things mental health through sharing stories, experiences. It's a good old chat.
You should close that window.
We're sharing.
Like, honestly, it's like, what the fuck is happening? A zombie apocalypse?
We're sharing the ambiance with some lovely sirens outside, which I think is kind of like weirdly fitting. I feel like it fits the tone of like Life's a Wreck.
Okay.
Yeah. In a Why? Weird, I don't know. Chaos, I suppose.
Sure.
Yeah. The voice you hear is the voice of my beautiful girlfriend, fantastic piano player, hockey player, Lego enthusiast, knows a lot about birds, really good whistler, almost like a scary good whistler. Like, I feel like sometimes you whistle around the apartment and it's like, oh my God, it's like almost piercing how like perfect the notes are. You're very like a very proficient whistler.
I've been doing it for a really long time.
An old nervous tic from childhood?
I don't know about a nervous tic. We've talked about this. I have like a constant earworm. I always have music stuck in my head.
This is an interesting, okay, totally off topic, but can you,
I think this maybe, is a mental health thing,
because maybe there's a listener out there who like actually would be like, or maybe like, I don't know, maybe a doctor's listening out there and they're like, huh, okay, I know what this is. And if, by the way, if you hear this and you know what might be going on, email us at lifesarecpodcast@gmail.com.
Okay. I have music stuck in my head, and depending on my mood, my brain chooses the genre to suit that mood. So if I'm in a sad mood, I have a sad song stuck in my head, and it'll be stuck in my head incessantly for like, I don't know. I've had songs, the same song stuck in my head for days at a time.
Which is,
and it just never goes away.
And that's the thing, is it's like, you say you like actually can like hear it and it's like constant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if I'm whistling, sometimes I don't even realize I'm whistling, but that's like almost me getting the song out, I guess. I really don't know. Like, I even get songs like, I won't even know the lyrics to the song, but it's still stuck in my head because it's like the instrumental and I can kind of hear the words muffled. Mm. It's really interesting, but yeah, like I'll
Which
even
totally, like, because like having a song stuck in your head, totally, like I feel like everybody was like, oh my God, yeah, totally, I know what that's like. But like,
yeah,
it's true. Like, you'll wake up and the first thing you say in the morning is like, this is the song that's in my head.
Yeah.
And it's like,
and
oh,
I can
my
wake
God.
Up and then maybe I drift back to sleep. Like, I'll wake up, song's in my head, I'll drift back to sleep, and then wake up again, same song still in my head.
When you're dreaming, do you, all of your dreams have the sound too?
I don't know.
Okay, so I guess no.
Maybe not.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe it's not, it doesn't bleed over into my dreams.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So yeah, if anybody out there knows what possible, I mean, like, could just be nothing,
or it could be something.
Could be something. If it is, if you think it might be,
maybe it's a coping mechanism.
If you think it might be something, reach out at lifestrikepodcast@gmail.com. I'm really excited. How are you feeling, by the way? Because yeah, this is. How are you feeling? How are you feeling tonight?
I feel fine.
Yeah.
I was exhausted earlier today.
Mm-hmm.
Mondays are really hard. And if it's a long weekend and the holiday lands on a Monday, Tuesdays are really hard. It's always my first day back to work,
mm-hmm.
each work week. I usually get a really bad headache, probably due to stress, I would say.
Sure enough. Yeah.
I work in a stage 5 mental health facility, so I mean,
it's a stressful environment.
Very.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stressful all around. Obviously,
mm-hmm.
Institutions in general are tough, but a lot of big emotions and complicated emotions. And
every single day.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting. We could not have two different days. Mm-hmm. It's funny because I think like the exhaustion, in a weird way, you could almost kind of say is like comparable. Like, you know, you're both tired at the end of the night. You're both maybe have a headache or whatever it may be. But literally, we're currently sitting in our living room which is something that we'll talk about today. Our living room. Which
our
is,
living
I know,
room.
I know, which is different.
Weird.
Even because we've actually recorded this episode once already, and it... I was nervous. So the tone of it is kind of strange because like I feel like I've interviewed family and friends before and it's something that I enjoy doing. And you kind of fit this like nice little like Venn diagram between those two, I don't know, like relationships in my life. And this being the sex, love and relationship episode, which is like a long standing episode for Life's a Wreck. I was just like, I was nervous because like if it's just me and I'm hopping on the mic, I'm comfortable to talk about anything and I'll put not everything. I shouldn't say that because there are things that I haven't shared on the podcast that are, you know, things that take place and they're kind of more, you know, some more the natural kind of like where's your kind of limit type thing. I just was like, you know, I just was like, okay, we're sitting down and I didn't have much of a plan. We still don't really have much of a plan. I guess we kind of did like a, the mental health podcasting version of drawing a play in the dirt at recess where we were just like, okay, so we're going to do this and then we'll talk about this and then we'll talk about this and then we'll just like see where it goes. So,
We're winging it.
First episode tone just wasn't right. So we're sitting down and do it again. And, yeah, I definitely feel for you because the tiredness, the stress that you have to endure on the day to day, as I was saying, I'm currently looking at my work setup in our living room. I get to kind of take it pretty easy in the morning. I like to go for my morning walk, get a nice Americano in the morning, sit by the water, breathe some fresh air, feel the sun on my
lucky you.
Sun on my skin.
Lucky you.
And you don't quite have that environment on
the
day-to-day.
No, I don't. No.
So I appreciate after a long day, we just had supper, which you made a great TikTok-inspired potato salad with crispy potatoes, which was
crispy potato
salad.
Delightful.
Crispy potato
salad.
Check
it out on TikTok.
Yeah, very good.
It was pretty good.
I appreciate you. I appreciate you being here, babe. It means a lot. I know that. How are you feeling about getting into talking about sex, love, and relationships on the first time that you've ever done any kind of like podcasting stuff? Did you ever think you'd do a podcast episode? Ever think you'd do a podcast?
Not until I met you.
Mm.
I thought maybe you'd eventually have me on.
Like waiting around, you're like, oh, wait. He's interviewed his parents.
When's he going to ask me?
And then I do come to you and I'm like, babe, let's talk about sex, love, and relationships. It's like, oh.
Those are my three favorite things to talk about.
It's
No, you know, I'm a pretty open person.
You are a very open person.
And I love talking about sex.
You also love podcasts. Yeah. Honestly,
I listen to a lot of podcasts.
You do listen to a lot of podcasts, yeah.
Every morning on my drive to work. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then my drive back because my commute to work's not very long, so I can't get a full episode in, but yeah.
And obviously, Life's a Wreck was a personal favorite of yours. And then you reached out. You were a big fan of the show. You reached out and were like, hey, Kyle, I'm a huge fan.
And that's how we met.
And that's how we met. Yeah.
Yeah.
No. I love your podcast. I think you're so great. Can I take you out, please? And anyway, I was
beg. I had to beg.
Yeah. Do you want to talk like share the story of how we met? You can start and I'll hop in eventually, but
okay. I was waitressing at the time. At a place called Barsabia on the waterfront. Anywho, the uniform, awful. Awful, awful. It was
I don't know.
A men's Hawaiian shirt with cargo shorts.
Oh.
I paired that with my New Balances.
Stop. I'm going to fuck.
Apparently, that's what Kyle's into. We had fedoras at one point. They did disappear. Kyle didn't see the fedora.
I have a white picket fence dad on vacation fetish.
Yeah,
so,
that's exactly what it was giving.
Yeah.
And I have naturally curly hair, okay? Mm-hmm.
Very curly, yeah.
And it was
humid. Favorite physical qualities about you. I love your curly hair.
Mm-hmm. It was a humid night. Mm-hmm. And Anyway, my hair was a frizzy mess. And I thought I was getting off early that night because it wasn't very busy. And I had my back turned to the tables. And then, you know, I turn around. Mm-hmm. And who's sitting in my section but Kyle and Alistair.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Our roommate Alistair.
So me being a little bit embarrassed by the whole uniform and frizzy hair situation, I sheepishly approached the table. I skipped.
Shuffled your way over.
Yeah. I was pretty nervous, honestly.
Wow, see, that's the thing is you've told the story. I mean, I don't understand.
I thought they were pretty attractive individuals. So it made me, made me nervous.
Both of us?
Yeah, both of you.
And this is the end of the podcast.
He's objectively an attractive
good
guy.
Good looking dude. Very good looking guy. Yeah.
Kyle and Alistair ordered their drinks. They got a bottle of wine, mm-hmm. split. Alistair got scallop ceviche.
Yeah, which was, I thought, a weird choice.
In a styrofoam container.
Yeah.
And I ended up giving you guys a couple free drinks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you walked over and I remember sitting there and I was like, who is this goddess?
You did not think that.
Who is this?
He didn't think
angel.
That.
I didn't know Barsabia hired Victoria's Secret models. I genuinely walked over and I was like, wow, the waitress is really, I literally told Alistair the second you like left, I was like, the waitress is really cute. And when you had walked over, you said, hi, my name's Emma.
I didn't introduce myself.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was nervous. I skipped my server spiel because I was nervous. So I just walked over and I was like, can I get you guys a drink? Like nervously. And anyway, it wasn't until I brought you your drink, like your bottle of wine. I was opening your bottle and
here we go.
Oh my God. You
turned
you
with
said,
the charisma.
I didn't catch your name. And I said, my name is Emma. And
I'm so sorry. I don't think I caught your name.
Yeah. Yeah, so I told him my name, and he said, I'm Kyle, nice to meet you. And I don't think you shook my hand. I think you did the hand.
I did the hand on
the
heart. Yeah, I do that a lot. I do that a lot.
Yeah.
I do a casual wink and a hand on the heart are the two things that
So I was gonna write my name and my number on your receipt, but I chickened out, okay? And you had mentioned that you were going to see Charbel at the mm-hmm. Bicycle Thief.
Shout out to Charbaby. If he's listening,
mutual,
which he will, if he
friend.
Knows he's mentioned, he'll check it out.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll let him know. I'll be like, hey, we dropped a little. So yeah, huge shout out to a great mutual friend of ours, Charbel.
Yeah, yep. And so I text Charbel
mm-hmm.
and said, hey, your friend Kyle is coming to see you, and he's pretty cute. Maybe you could do something mm-hmm. for me here. And
meanwhile, I was kicking down the doors of Bicycle Thief because I could not get to Charbel fast enough to ask him about the frizzy haired Hawaiian shirt wearing beauty that served Alistair and I outside. And sure enough, I go to the bar and I go, hey Charbel, what do you know about Emma? She said that she knows you. What's she like? I think she's pretty cute. Like, I really like her. And he goes, well, you're not going to fucking believe it. And he turns his phone around, and it was a text from Emma.
Oh, he showed you the
phone? Yeah, 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 yeah. And he's like, she literally just texted me about you. I don't even know if I clocked the message. I don't even know if I read it, because I was just, I saw your name, and I think I saw my name, and I was just like, oh, my God. Like, so did I can't, I had asked him to give.
This story changes every time we talk about it.
Well,
my side doesn't change. Your side changes.
Well, what do you mean?
I don't think you've ever told me that you like saw the phone. Not
well,
that
he
it matters.
Just, he had just said, he was like, you like, he's like, you're not going to believe this. Like, she just texted me about you. And I think he flipped his phone around for a second or something. But it wasn't, as I said, I don't think I clocked the message.
You gave Charbel, well, you didn't give Charbel your number, but you told Charbel to give me your number.
Oh, I felt like a million bucks too. I really did. I really, really did. I was like, yeah, no, like I played it super cool. I was sitting there. I had like all, because I was also like, Emma got Alistair and I drunk. let's call a spade a spade. We were sitting there, we had the bottle of wine, and then you came over and you're like, hey, guys, let's get a little...
You want a paper plane?
You want a paper plane? And I was like, yeah. And I was just shaking, and I was like, oh my God, she's cool too. And so then, and
back
then also,
when I was cool, I'm not cool anymore.
Was. Yeah.
Yeah. Keyword.
Then there was also Marco, who had also given us a free drink. So, cause I used to work for Bicycle Thief. I'd worked for the Bicycle Thief a long time ago. And yeah, so that was our, and then sure enough, you had, because Charbel gave you my number, you reached out.
Charbel originally gave me the wrong number.
Oh.
Because I had texted the number he gave me, and it was Green Bubbles, and then I text Charbel, and I was like, does this man not have an iPhone? Anyway.
Which should have been, if you had told me that, would have been a red flag. I'm an iPhone boy. I don't stand for Android slander. I just find it strange.
No, I just was like, because I didn't get an answer. It was Green Bubbles. And like, no one really has an Android these days. Everyone has an iPhone.
It is true.
And so anyway, he was like, oh, shit, I gave you the wrong number. I was like, really? I thought maybe he was like fucking with me a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
and
yeah.
Then, we had a really eventful first date too, which we've been talking about this for a while. Obviously, this is all about
moving on
mental health. But yeah, we can talk more about that maybe at a different time, but long story short, because I think it is funny, waitress called my shirt stupid. That was fun.
Mm-hmm.
I borrowed the shirt from Alistair, so jokes on Alistair.
True.
We showed up.
Alistair dresses better than you, honestly. But
well, I'm not trying to spend money on that many clothes. I feel like I could. I feel like I look. If I just went and I was like, I'm going to spend some money on clothes.
You pointed out some questionable shirts at Simon's the other day.
I think it would work. I think half of fashion is confidence, 90% of it. I'm
sure.
I truly believe that.
Anyway, moving forward.
We showed up with very different vibes. I showed up for a party at the beach, and you showed up for a performance review at your law firm.
I don't, oh my God.
Showed up for your shift as a high school principal?
I was wearing a blazer, an oversized blazer, which was on trend and still is, by the way.
It was a good look. I remember because
paired it with the New Balances.
Yeah, yeah.
Casual, but dressy and cute, you know?
Yeah. And I showed up with like a towel texture button up and like jeans and like kind of like almost like hypebeast-y kind of shoes, like Jordan.
Pink shoes.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is in a mullet and a mustache. And that was kind of, that was the vibe. That was my vibe when we met. I like the mullet too. But you showed up and I was like floored. I thought you looked unbelievable. Like I was like, holy shit.
Big difference between that and... Varsavia.
She gets more attractive. What the fuck? I thought you were gorgeous. And the funny thing about, so apart from getting called stupid, the funny thing about our date was I didn't mention Big Brother. I had gotten back from Big Brother like, I think 3 months before or something like that. Like was it even less? 2 months?
We went on our first date in like the beginning of September.
Okay, so
you would have got back from Big Brother and
four or five months ago.
Okay,
yeah, four give or take, and I didn't mention it at all during the date because like, you know, it was one of those things where I was like, I don't have interest in sharing that at that point, and I didn't want it to kind of take up any kind of conversation. I was really enjoying just us getting to know each other, and I just feel like sometimes when Big Brother gets brought up, it kind of dominates the conversation a little bit. So I was like, and then we had a whole conversation about like influencers and how I was like, I can never imagine doing like social media and putting myself out there like that. I'm just like a really like low key guy. It's just kind of, I enjoy like, you know, I have a podcast and I enjoy sharing that way, but I don't really like, I really do much else. I'm pretty low key. And sure enough, we like literally walk out of the restaurant that we were at, the bar we were at, and walk down the street. And there was a group of people who walk by and they go, "Hey, are you Kyle from Big Brother?" And all of a sudden, after literally just going on this like whole conversation about, I'm a low-key guy. I can't really imagine doing anything like that. The most like that thing ever is Big Brother. And they were like, "Hey, are you that, you're that guy?" And sure enough, I took a picture with them, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. They asked me to take a picture and I took a picture with them. And then I literally went back to Emma and Emma was just sitting there with a smirk on her face. And I was like, "So," and yeah, had told her then, but that was, I'll never forget that, that moment of just ranting about
social
media and all this stuff. And then, "Hey, are you Kyle from Big Brother?" And it was just like,
"You hypocrite."
Shit. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. Anything in particular you want to share about our first date before we, move on?
No.
Yeah. Base is covered.
Yeah.
Okay. This being the sex, love, and relationship episode, and us looking through these topics as a, like looking them at them as a couple through the lens of mental health, I'd really love to maybe, I'd really love for you to kind of maybe give us a little bit of an idea as to the role that mental health you feel plays in your life on the day to day. And maybe kind of give us a look behind the curtain as to what you're comfortable with sharing into your relationship with your mental health. And then obviously I'll go afterwards and then we can kind of meet in the middle and talk about how it plays a role. Mental health plays a role in us.
I don't know where to begin. I feel like that's too broad of a question.
Okay. Okay.
Let's narrow it down a bit.
The heat is on as an interviewer. My guest is unsatisfied with the question. I have to go back to the drawing board. This is,
I don't do this often.
DEFCON 1 right now, or DEFCON 5. I listened to a whole podcast the other day about DEFCON. Anyway. Well, how does anxiety show up for you?
I'm very emotional.
Mm-hmm.
You know that.
Mm-hmm.
So anxiety for me, it shows up in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I get a little avoidant and my communication isn't there. Other times I get snippy and frustrated and snap at people, you know, you or even myself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a crier.
Mm-hmm.
I cry. Yeah. I weep. I'm a weeper. If anyone knows that reference. And yeah, I get really down on myself.
Yeah.
Everything impacts me like so much more significantly than it should. Kyle and I were trying to, so we live together now.
Mm-hmm.
And the move was very stressful.
Yeah.
I have a lot of stuff. I lived alone for 4 years. And then before I moved in with Kyle, I had lived with two roommates for about 6 or 7 months. And mm-hmm. it just wasn't the environment for me.
Yeah.
And, you know, my mental health living there wasn't fantastic. And then the move itself, like taking everything that I've accumulated over the years and moving it into Kyle and Alistair's much tinier apartment,
mm-hmm.
Was overwhelming for all three of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it impacted all three of us in different ways.
Oh, for sure.
We won't dive into that because Alistair's not here to speak for himself, but,
I mean, obviously we can talk about it from our perspective and we will.
Yeah. Sure, yeah. Yeah. But, I think I was anxious because I didn't want to. So this is Kyle and Alistair's apartment. It's been their apartment for how long?
We moved here in 2021. Yeah, so 3 years.
3 years. So
two and change, yeah.
I enjoy change. I love interior design. I love organization. And so coming into a new environment, I get very excited by those things. But at the same time, I wanted to be as considerate as possible of how Kyle and Alistair might feel about me kind of making changes to the environment. But me being me and also having that little bit of anxiety. Mm-hmm. I kind of blew in here and I overwhelmed myself with the amount of things that I was moving into the place. And then on top of that, my brain was just rolling in like all of the different tasks that I felt like I had to do.
Yeah.
It wasn't a gradual thing.
It's interesting because you definitely, get like a very clear idea of what you want to do in your head. And when things deviate.
Yeah. If it even just slightly,
it just raises anxiety levels and raises stress levels.
I have this idea in my head and I get real fucking angry. It doesn't work out. I'm just saying. Can I curse on here?
Yeah.
Okay. Angry, anxious.
Well, just like, would you say it like, it becomes, when you get overwhelmed, it's a lot tougher to like regulate your emotions.
Yeah. I can never really pinpoint what the emotion is. It just kind of all comes out in different, it's like I'm feeling multiple emotions all at the same time. I'm angry, I'm frustrated, I'm sad, I cry, you can hear the frustration in my tone. Like it's a weird combination of emotions.
Has that always been the case?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
I don't know. I think it gets a little confusing because I cry a lot. I cry when I'm happy. I cry when I'm sad.
Yeah, I cry.
I cry when I'm angry. I never run out of tears.
Which is amazing. Yeah. I mean, like in the time that we've been together, I've cried like...
Three times?
Four or five times, yeah.
Yeah, so around there. Yeah. Between three and five.
I've had cries that like you haven't been around for kind of thing.
Yeah.
But like I'd say in front of each other. Like I would say you probably cry a couple times a week.
You're probably becoming desensitized to my crying.
Well, I don't think it's as much desensitized as much as I don't think like, because for the longest time when I saw tears, I'm like, oh my God, this is like, holy shit, this person's crying. They're so sad. And like, but you know what's funny is like, sometimes I'm not sure, like with you, I'm like, oh, like M's crying, M cries when, you know, to express various emotions. But it's funny because it's like, I think that there's still that element of, holy shit, that person's so sad that they're crying. Mm-hmm. Because you are somebody who you feel things very intensely.
Very deeply.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, two different words, deeply, intensely.
I definitely have the intensity. I guess I say deeply because I feel...
Oh, it is deeply. Absolutely.
I feel things viscerally. Mm-hmm. I feel it in my... I don't just feel it through my emotions. I feel things like in my body.
Mm-hmm. Which I feel like is the goal a lot of the time for people is to, you know, genuinely just be unafraid to feel.
Mm.
It's interesting. I mean, with my mentals, I've talked about it at, you know, at length on the podcast. But I think that, my anxiety and OCD definitely, show up in sex, love, and relationships. And I feel like during the move, it was one of those things where, I think that we just have two very different approaches. And those approaches, I think, both played on our anxieties or individual anxieties,
mm-hmm.
where one of my anxieties is, I don't really like I kind of like to, I don't know how to necessarily describe it. I think that there's like this kind of peace that comes for me with not really having, like, I'm somebody who, like, I always use this example, like, my desktop on my computer is a mess. I know everything is, I'm happy with it being that way, and I feel no desire to change it. And I think with, you know, when you had moved in, there was kind of that, like, you are somebody who likes order and procedure.
I feel at peace.
Yeah, yeah.
With like, through organized mm-hmm. spaces.
Yeah, and we
making
had, like,
things functional.
Yes, like, under our storage for, like, all of our pots and pans and Tupperware and all that kind of stuff was truly this just one big cupboard where everything was thrown in there. And Alistair and I both were, like, of the agreement that, like, we know where everything is. Mm-hmm. We're totally fine with everything being exactly how it is. It works for us. And then Emma came in and was like, what the hell is this? Because it did look like a fucking tornado blew through that, like, that thing. And it was one of those things where it was like, okay, all of these spaces have to change. And I think there was a part of that that was like,
and so,
that's understandable when you go through a move. And that's yeah. absolutely the thing. And I think that my anxiety was just like, fuck, like, now there's, it was almost kind of like that, like, getting fired up. Now there's rules. Now I have to do things that I don't want to do. And I have to do them on a pattern that I'm uncomfortable with and I'm not familiar with. And it was interesting. I think that, like, one of the things that's been the most eye-opening about the move has just been, I think it's brought to light a lot of different things that I'm like, okay, cool. This gives me a lot of, like, this gives me some new things that I can work on to continue to, like, progress as a partner, and as a new roommate to you. And that's been really nice, but it's definitely brought with it also that those revelations didn't come by just being like, oh, well, this is something to work on in therapy. There was certainly some, like, friction that's caused, and it yeah. makes you go, okay, yeah, no shit, I gotta fucking, I should.
And as a result, you were overwhelmed. You were overwhelmed
by all
of that. Yeah,
for sure.
I think what overwhelmed me was it wasn't just moving things into an apartment. It was coming in and feeling the need, because this is just how my brain works. I couldn't comfortably move everything and put everything into its place or a place until all surfaces were clean. So, you know, I overwhelmed myself by taking on such a large task. Mm-hmm. For example, in the kitchen, I had to pull everything out of the fridge and I had to scrub the fridge clean
yeah.
before moving any of the food into the fridge. And similarly with, like, the cupboards and all of that stuff. Like, I had to clean and then reconfigure, reorganize, and make sure that things were grouped properly, because that's yeah. just my brain. I needed that.
Yeah, it was funny. The word that I was picking up on was had. I had to do this thing.
Well, yes.
I mean, I know that there is an element of, I love coming into a space and cleaning it and reorganizing it, but also there is that element of
mm-hmm. I can't let it go.
Exactly. And yeah. And it was one of those things too, where that, I think your tempo was something that was tough to adjust to, because you were around my apartment all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that I've found interesting about your spaces in particular is that you had no desire to do, like, to change anything or for anything to be different when it wasn't your space. But the mm-hmm. second it became your space too,
mm-hmm.
it was like, oh, it was like a switch flicked. And it was like, this is now my space. I need to check all of these boxes. I have to.
I love a good checklist. So now we're rolling into my environment
mm-hmm.
really impacts my mental health.
Yeah.
Always has. I don't want to say always will. I'd love to change that aspect of myself, but I think it'll take a lot of work. That was one of the reasons why things didn't work out in my last living arrangement. I couldn't deal with how my roommates liked to live.
Yeah, you just, there was a significant, like, difference in lifestyle.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of the, you know, when people file for divorce, one of the things is, like, irreconcilable differences, or irreconcilable. Am I saying that right?
I don't know.
Irreconcilable?
I have no idea.
Yeah. It's kind of like that word, I think. I think I have it right.
Yeah,
irreconcilable differences. Like, you guys had I'm totally overthinking the word.
Kibosh that.
Could not be more different.
Yeah. My last living arrangement didn't work out because we had
a variety of reasons.
Yeah, a variety of reasons, but the biggest one was that my lifestyle choices were significantly different than my roommates, and so as a result, the environment just wasn't. It wasn't for me. Like it just negatively impacted me. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah. And so like with moving into the space, and like, this is one of those things where I think there was an element of it too. And we're obviously talking about the move because it's topical right now. And I think this is kind of like the relationship part of,
we're still in the processing phase.
Oh, for sure. I mean, yeah, of course. It's
not processing. What's the word that I'm looking for?
I don't know. I mean, like settling, like.
Yeah, we're still settling in.
Totally.
Yeah.
It's been an interesting ride to go through. It's been so nice. I mean, this weekend we had a weekend where Stir was in Vegas. And we had everything settled. And so mm-hmm. we kind of had like our first weekend where we were like kind of home. And it was like things were just kind of chilling.
Yeah, it was really nice.
And it was really nice. Mm-hmm. It was a really, really lovely weekend. There was some other things this weekend. Like I had decided I wasn't going to do any podcast work this weekend, which is another kind of like, you know, quasi mental health type thing where it's like I kind of gave myself permission to take the weekend off. So I think there was also an element of taking it easy and not necessarily really having like things to do, places to be, that kind of stuff.
Oh, I was doing absolutely nothing this weekend.
Yeah, and it was really, really nice.
Yeah, we've been so busy that I didn't want to do anything.
So it was great. And it was a kind of a nice weekend to like really put 10 toes down and be like, okay, holy shit, take a fucking deep breath. Like, we're good. Because what I was going to say before was, I think with the move, when I had first asked you, things at your other apartment were coming to a head. There was a lot of like, the stress was evident in a big, big
insurmountable
way.
Insurmountable.
It was significant. And it was one of those things where it was like, okay, let's see if this is like, let's explore this. And we had talked about it before, like previously.
What, moving in together? Yeah.
And it was just one of those things where it was like, okay, the external, you know, factors are just becoming, they're really kind of affecting things in a big way. So let's see if we can kind of make this a little bit easier. And I obviously had, you know, I love you dearly. And I was excited about the prospect of moving in together. And then I think when that was all kind of going to shit, it was like, yeah, maybe this is a good time to give it a go and see how things go. And at first we were like, oh, we're going to take it really slow. We're going to like move boxes in one at a time, you know, whatever. And then there was kind of, I think that as soon as the floodgates cracked open, it like burst open. And it was like, I mean, the energy I felt certainly was like, go. It was like militant. It was like, go, 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 get this shit out of here. Let's fucking move it. Come on, let's go. Like, let's get settled here. And I was so like, holy shit, this is like, boxes started coming in and I was like, I don't want to do this slow. I want to do this fast. I want to get this thing over with.
Yeah, because the whole moving process, just like packing things into boxes. Oh. And anyway, and I really wanted to get out of that environment. You wanted me out of that environment. But we definitely had our fair share of fights during the moving process.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there was disagreements as we were going through because our the confrontation, obviously handling confrontation is something that's important.
We did not do that well.
No, there was definitely, I think there was just kind of like, it was just a lot of stress.
Yeah.
And we both handle stress in vastly different ways.
Yeah.
And some of those ways aren't, you know, always compatible as of now. Mm-hmm. You know, it was one of those things where it gave us a lot of clarity into the areas in which that we have the opportunity to like improve on as a couple. And one of the things that came up with all of this was we had kind of decided that because of some of the situations that had come up and we both kind of like had sat back afterwards and been like, shit, I think I would have liked to have like approached that better. Like I didn't bring my A game to this situation. And so we decided that we were like, yeah, like let's give couples therapy a try. And so, because it was something where we just found ourselves kind of stuck in loops where we would both express ourselves. We would both understand where the other person was coming from, mm-hmm. but we wouldn't necessarily have the where's the solution. Mm-hmm. And so we were like, okay, we're communicating. We're talking things. We're talking from our point of view, and we're putting it out on the table, and we're working it through. But we just couldn't come to a solution that was sticky. And
I would even argue that we just couldn't come up with a solution at all.
Yeah,
we would talk. I find we would talk about things.
We talk about things. We take responsibility for them.
Yeah, like we're really good at taking ownership over.
I fucked up.
Our mistakes.
That's my bad. Yeah.
But to come up with a solution and move forward.
Yeah.
And past that.
Word. Yeah.
Past that forward, thing yeah. that we're struggling with was really hard for us. We would feel the relief of talking about it, I think. Mm-hmm. And then because it wasn't fully resolved, there was no solution. We would always find ourselves back in the same place, like a few weeks later, a couple months later, whatever yeah. it was. And so that's, we're being proactive in doing couples therapy, especially since we recently moved in together, because yeah, we don't want this sort of thing to persist.
No, for sure. And that's, it's one of those things where I think that the stigma surrounding couples therapy was something that played on me at the very beginning. I know mm-hmm. that I've actually had people in my life who have done couples therapy and are like, it's the best thing I've ever done. Like it, you know, was, it made me a better partner. It made our relationship better. I'm so thankful that I did it. But there was still that part of me that I was like, oh, but couples therapy is for couples who have like problems and are like on the verge of like breaking up and all this stuff. And I was kind of worried about that. But the more that we get, so I've got the way that couples therapy works is that you have to do an individual appointment first, kind of to get for the therapist to get both point of views and then do the sessions together. So I have my first session this week, tomorrow or Wednesday.
Oh
yeah.
I haven't booked my appointment yet.
Yeah. Well, this is, yeah, I know. I booked it a little bit ago. So, so that's this week. So, obviously at some point, I mean, maybe we'll talk about it on the podcast again, but this is like something that we're, you know, doing, and I'm now really excited about it because I think that that idea of escaping loops that you find yourself stuck in, I'm like, oh my God, to have more time with you where I'm like, we have like an answer, I guess, or we have, I think even having an outside voice to just be like,
having,
hey,
someone mediate a conversation,
like, totally
is,
here's
amazing.
Some like unbiased, you know,
yeah,
documented professional,
someone who doesn't have my trauma or your trauma.
Totally.
They're just looking at us from an outside perspective and able to kind of like, I don't know, just
acts as a bit of a guide through some of the, you know, difficult mm-hmm. conversations that every, you know, couple has to navigate mm-hmm. as they choose to, you know, wake up every day and choose one another and choose to like face these things head on and not just like let them fester for years and years and years and then wake up one day and you're 40 years old and you're like, oh my God, I'm pissed.
No, thank you.
Yeah, exactly.
No, thank you.
So that's been good. I'm excited to, how are you feeling about it?
I feel fine. I'm excited too.
Yeah.
I don't want to be in a loop anymore.
Yeah.
So we're in mutual agreement on that.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit nervous. I haven't done therapy in a long time. Mm-hmm. It's been a while.
Yeah. It is interesting because like we're going into this from two very different like therapy experiences because I've been in therapy consistently. For
I
the
am
past,
a therapist.
Like, yeah, you are a therapist.
A form of one.
Yeah, you're an occupational therapist. Mm-hmm. But obviously there is an element of mental health support that is offered through occupational therapy.
Yeah.
And also work in a stage 5 mental health facility, so you're, you know, around psychiatric care and
I've done independent therapy before
mm-hmm.
For multiple reasons
mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's been a while. I think the last time that I was consistently seeing a therapist would have been in 2021
mm-hmm.
So it's been a few years.
It's been a little bit. And I've been in therapy for the past year, give or take.
Mm-hmm.
So it's it's interesting. I'm excited to do it together. I think I actually kind of think it's gonna be fun. So I'm looking forward to it. I really love therapy. I'm a huge advocate for, I think that like not only should therapy be more accessible, but I do think more people should do therapy if
Well, even during our consultation appointment with the therapist that we chose to go with, she had initially brought up love languages, which I thought was really funny, because if I'm being completely honest, maybe I'll call you out a little bit here. I have been asking Kyle what his love language is for quite some time now. And he was never really able to give me an answer. And the first thing that this therapist wanted us to do was to take the love language test so that we know what our love languages are. Because you can have more than one.
Yeah.
There's just different percentages or whatever. And yeah, I just thought that was funny because I kind of already knew what my love language was.
Yeah.
And I think you did too, but...
Yeah, my I would always describe it was funny because you would ask and I'd be like, oh, my love language, like fun, ease were those two words that kept coming up.
That drove me bananas.
Yeah. And it was interesting because it's like in a weird way, like still very much...
I think those are more like qualities of a relationship, not a love language.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think like just when somebody would engage in those things, if I'm, you know, with you and we have a day that's like peaceful and we did like over the weekend, Sunday was great. We did yoga. We went and got coffee and a nice lunch. We sat down. We just chilled the entire afternoon. That was so peaceful and easy. And I was just like,
that's acts of service and quality time. Would it not be?
Yeah, fair enough. But I think we're both right. I think it falls under the category
of... This is just my competitiveness coming out. I like to be right.
I want to win therapy.
maybe.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I'm excited for that. How would you say that... Let's now that we're an hour into our chat,
we're really gonna cut that down though.
Well, I mean, not really. Like,
I mean, you're gonna cut out a lot of the little like things in the middle. Like, I feel like there were multiple times like, was I allowed to say that, or like, did that sound weird, or I don't know how to phrase this.
That's only like 2 or 3 minutes worth of cutting down, so yeah, it's really not that much.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I mean, I can maybe splice this in earlier, but you know, you got to keep people around. And I'll put in the intro that we talk about sex later in the episode because I wanted to talk with you.
How does
about
our mental
sex.
Health affect our sex lives?
Yeah. Which is so I've talked about my sex life on the podcast before,
right?
Sex, love, and relationships.
When you were single,
yes, and. Was never about that. It was just about exploring, I think, a lot of the...
Slinging dick. just kidding.
Yeah, so have discussed sex on the podcast before and was always pretty, like, candid about it, but I was like, shit, like, I feel like it's a little bit more intimate when you talk about it with another person. But it's funny because I was like, I really do think that's... Our mental health plays a significant role within our sex life. And for me, I know that with my, you know, when I'm feeling, when I'm kind of like looking for that sense of like closeness and intimacy, you know, turning to sex over something like quality time or an act of service or something like that, I've always found has been... a thing for me, but sex has also been a bit of an escape, a bit of a moment to kind of like turn my mind off and just be like, you know, with you in the most intimate way possible.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that word of like fun comes up a lot. Like I've always seen, I've been very fortunate in my life to see sex very much so as fun and enjoyable. And I think that it's kind of one of those things where I think sometimes if I'm feeling anxious, I want to, I'm almost like I want to do, you know.
You
want to
do sex?
Yeah. You know, it's funny. As soon as I said do, I was like, I think I was trying to keep it like too PG in my brain. And I was going to be like wanting to engage with you in such a way. But like, yeah, when I want to bang, what's funny, as we're talking about this, I am like imagining, I'm like, fuck, like I feel like some family and stuff might be listening. Like, it's kind of a little bit,
it is what it is.
Disclaimer, I'll put it like, I'll literally stop the episode and put a disclaimer and be like, Kyle and Emma are going to talk about sex. Turn this episode off if you are a family member.
Yeah,
but I want to have sex when I'm feeling anxious, because for me it's like that, my mind goes blank and I'm just
I
like
do not want to have sex when I'm feeling anxious.
I know. So Again, I am yin and yang here.
I am not sexually charged at that time. I do not want to be touched. I want, actually, that's a lie. I do want physical touch, but I just want to cuddle. I just want to cuddle. Yeah. I don't want to have sex when I'm sad, when I'm like anxious. None of that. I want nothing to do with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's so funny too, because I mean, like, I haven't always been so fortunate to experience sex as something that's fun.
Mm-hmm.
We won't get into that, but yeah, so sex has, there's always some, well, not always, because I feel like we've been together for a year and a half now.
Mm-hmm.
So I no longer really feel anxious when it comes to having sex with you.
Nice.
It kind of sounds weird when you say it like that.
Yeah. I no longer feel anxious having sex with you too.
Sexual intercourse. Intercourse.
When we're having penetrative coitus. And
precoital, I'm anxious. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I was very anxious. I mean, I don't want to start talking about previous partners. That's weird. But like,
no, it's not weird.
Yeah, I guess I would have some level of anxiety as to, you know, like my self-image, for example, like not feeling comfortable in my body, not feeling comfortable with somebody new. Obviously, everyone's a little bit nervous to have. Well, not everyone, actually. Some people are very excited to have sex for the first time with someone else. Yeah. But I...
Cut to me the first time we had sex, and I was like, yay!
Yeah, he was very excited. I was very nervous.
I was like, fuck yeah, this will be great.
Yeah, I was like, oh my God, what's he going to think about my body? Oh my God. I was in my head the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
The entire time. I don't know if I enjoyed it that much. I think Fair I enjoyed enough. It, but like, you know.
I mean, no, I'm kind of like, I'm also partially kidding. Like the first time we had sex, I was also nervous. Like it's a new experience. You're like, especially like, I really liked you. And I was like, you know, we had waited a few dates and it was like, yeah, like this.
Oh my God. The classic, like as a woman, is he still going to like me after we have sex?
Oh really?
Well, I don't know. Like that happens.
Yeah. Fair enough.
You like kind of wait. You know, you want to wait like four dates before you have sex. Yeah. And then do the deed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then it happens and you kind of think like, is he still going to like me? Is there going to be another date? Like, mm-hmm. what's the vibe?
I mean, there are absolutely like societal, you know, expectations and almost like, I'm using bunny ears, but almost like rules that
like, oh, if you have sex too early.
Or like, yeah, there's a lot of like kind of patriarchal,
or he'll actually like you if you make him wait.
Yeah, no, exactly. A lot of kind of like just kind of nasty things that I feel like, especially in the Maritimes, have kind of been like,
yeah,
you get it a lot more. That's something that I really noticed when I went to school in Toronto versus here, was like the mindset and the thoughts about like the thought process around
about
sex,
coitus?
About coitus.
Yeah.
About I can't think of anything. About bangers and mash was so like night and day different, and that was something that I think benefited me tremendously. Like I had you know, experiences in the Maritimes that I thought were really positive, you know, was fortunate to just have had good experiences, and then when I went to Toronto, I was like, wow, okay, this is like, it was just much more sex positive in a way that like I think people were just much, there was just so much less stigma.
Sex is very different though for men versus women.
100%, absolutely. For
in
sure.
In a heterosexual relationship, mm-hmm. anyway. But yeah, like I don't know. I had a lot of anxieties surrounding sex.
Yeah. And do you find that like
it takes me a really long time, or it took me with you a really long time to get comfortable,
mm-hmm.
and to want to explore new things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. It's you're so vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a vulnerable thing. You're seeing someone at their most vulnerable when you're having
mm-hmm.
coitus.
Just like a crab without a shell. Just
literally.
Yeah.
Literally. like a little hermit crab running around like. You're like,
I too scurry around the room like a hermit crab when we have sex.
I do take my clothes off and I'm
why when we were kids were hermit crabs a thing? They were so with the colored shells. Anyway, totally off topic.
I feel like, see, you had a very different childhood than I did.
Everyone had a hermit crab when I was a kid.
I didn't have a hermit crab. Who had hermit crabs?
I mean, I am 3 years older than you, so.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, that is true.
Back to sex. Funny.
No.
It's not going that deep, sweetie.
And that's the end of the podcast. Thanks everybody for listening.
And our relationship.
Yeah. I do see we're getting low battery though, so we're gonna have to okay. wrap it up here soon. But yeah, I think that it is interesting, and it's one of those things that, like, for anybody listening out there, whether in a long-term relationship, whether somebody who is, you know, dating, whether you're somebody who is just enjoying the single life, and whether that changes or not, who gives a shit? But you know, like the sex stuff in general, I think, like, there is an element of, like, giving yourself a lot of grace when it comes to sex, and kind of like figuring out exactly how your puzzle pieces, like, fit together to be
and being explorative.
And not only physically, but mentally, because that is one of those things where being courteous to the other person's mental state and the things that they need to feel the most comfortable, confident version of themselves in those intimate moments is something that requires an immense amount of communication.
Yeah.
It's something that, you know, is, it's so personal.
Yeah.
And so being open, you have to almost be, like, emotionally vulnerable before the physically vulnerable to have truly, like, you know, great sex.
Yeah. I agree.
Thanks, babe.
So should we go do it right now?
To our guests' authenticity, vulnerability, and for their story, thank you. And for all of those who have decided to spend some time exploring the wreck, we are honored to have you on board. Life's a Wreck is hosted, edited, and produced by myself, Kyle Moore, and made possible by our fantastic listenership. This podcast is baked fresh in-house by the fine folks at Snack Labs. Special thanks to Jeremy Saunders, Brian Stever, and Taylor McGilvery for their guidance and support. If you're listening and in need of mental health support, please do not hesitate to explore local resources and talk to trusted loved ones in your life. If you or someone you know is experiencing suicidal ideation, call 988 anywhere in Canada for free 24/7 crisis support. I want to remind you that you are worthy and deserving of the health that you seek. And just remember that through all of it, through the ups and downs, the highs and lows, the good days and the bad days, that life's a wreck. And not only is that beautiful, but we wouldn't want to have it any other way.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.